tonight. Father, I pray that you would just be exalted tonight, that your name would be lifted up. And Lord, I pray that we would just set aside the mask, that we would set aside, Lord, the Pharisaicalism, that we would set aside every weight in our life, and that, Lord, that we would just see you clearly tonight. May we see you in such a way that we've never seen you before. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would exalt your name through the preaching of your word. And Lord, we need your word more than our necessary food. And Lord, we're so grateful that you came down and saved us, delivered us. And Lord, our heart's plea tonight is teach us from your word, grow us. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as your messenger, that you would hide me behind the cross of Christ, that you would just get me out of the way, and that your name would be praised and that your name would be exalted. Would you put your words in my mouth? In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Psalm 86 and verse number 1. The Bible says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. And then jump over to verse number 11. The Bible says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Verse number 12, I will praise thee, O God, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of the violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save thy son, and save the son of thy handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has hope in me and comforted me. A lot of times we read passages of scripture and we just gloss over them. I mean, they become commonplace. I go through the Psalms every month. And a lot of times there's, when you read a passage of scripture, and oftentimes it just really just jumps out at you. And this passage of scripture jumped out at me with a meeting with a friend of mine. He challenged us young men. He says, look up the verse, Psalm 86, verse number 11. And as soon as he said the latter part of that, he said, unite my heart to fear thy name. Immediately God struck a chord in my heart. And I began to look at this whole psalm, and I began to look at the life of David, and I began to look at all these different aspects regarding the book of Psalms. And honestly, it became one of my prayers each and every day. God, unite my heart to fear thy name. And he challenged us both, these two young men. He said, make sure that your heart is united with Christ. He said, you were in ministry. You're going into ministry. My friend Chris is getting ready to plant a church in Ferguson. And he said, you're getting ready to plant a church in Ferguson. You're getting ready to go into ministry. Make sure that your heart is united with God. And he began to say how oftentimes as a Christian, you could do the right things. You could say the right things. You could look the right part, but not have your heart united with Christ. And this is one thing that often irritates me the most about myself, the most about my flesh. The flesh can go to church. The flesh can pray. The flesh can act spiritual. But the flesh in my heart can't be united with Christ. That's how oftentimes the sad reality of it is, that we're not united with Christ in our hearts. And honestly, on a daily basis, this is something that really just irritates me to no end. That I can have a good day, that I can witness to people, that I can do the right things. And then all of a sudden, you realize, my heart's not united with Christ. Man, just because I have a good day doesn't mean I'm right with God. Just because I'm going to church doesn't mean I'm right with God. Just because I'm reading my Bible, because I'm praying, it doesn't mean my heart is united with God. And so tonight, let that be your heart cry, that your heart would be united with God's heart. Verse number 11, it says, teach me thy way. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And he says, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. And so we go back to verse number 1. I believe this is the beginning of the whole song, the beginning of this whole message, the beginning of us being humble before God. And it is us realizing that we are poor and we are needy. I mean, have you ever got to the point where you realize, if God doesn't help me, no one can. If God doesn't deliver me, no one's going to deliver me. If God, if no one is there for me, I mean, if God is not there for me, then no one's going to be there for me to help me. And I mean, can you picture in your mind those times where, man, your heart was so burdened down in the middle of the night? Man, everybody that you knew was asleep, but there was one person that was awake, and he calmed your soul. I mean, he helped you through the trials, the tribulations, everything that you're going through. But if you never realized that you were poor and needy, you would have never called out to him. You would have never asked him for help. I mean, can you imagine and put yourself in David's place? I mean, you go through the Psalms, you have the Psalm of David, the Song of David, so on and so forth. But we're actually seeing tonight a glimpse into the prayer life of David. I mean, the person that God calls the man after his own heart. And so tonight, just allow yourself to learn from this man's prayer life. And the Bible says, it says that he daily cried unto the Lord. So I believe this is something that David did on a daily basis, in asking the Lord to unite his heart, asking the Lord to knit his heart together. Verse number 2, it says, preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I mean, and isn't it glorious that you can lift your soul up unto God? You can ask him to help you, and he's going to be there every single time. And I often ask people, man, when was the last time that God failed you? I mean, when was the last time that God failed anyone? Every single time that you cry out to God, he's always there to listen to you. He's always there to help you. Verse number 4, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Attend unto the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. I mean, can you imagine how many people in this world are calling out to false gods and asking them to help them? I mean, you go back to the to Baal and Elijah on the Mount Carmel, how they're cutting themselves, crying out to Baal and asking him to come down and to provide a miracle for them. And then you have people today, they're crying out to their false god and so on and so forth. But you have a God that's not like any other God. You have a God that is alive. You have a God that is real. You have a God that sees everything, that knows everything. And he's able to meet your needs. And I mean, that is the most humbling thing in all the world, to realize the God that made the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that we see in this world, he came down and died on the cross so he can have a relationship with us, so that he could have a relationship with people that oftentimes have a divided heart. Oftentimes they say, hey, you know what, God, I got it. I know what I'm doing. Hey, this, I'm going my own way. I don't need your way. Verse number 9 says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. And I mean, I began to think about this week, all the wondrous works of God. I mean, think about parting the Red Sea. You think about calling fire down from heaven. I mean, you think about all the mighty wondrous works of God. And then you think about how God saved our souls. Think about that miracle, that God saved our souls. And I began to think about how the Old Testament, they had this little goat that they sacrificed, little lamb that they sacrificed, and so on and so forth, that they did once a year. But Jesus Christ did it once, and all mankind was saved. Think about the miracle of salvation. And I was listening to the lyrics of this one song. It says, I don't get... It stumbles, the basic lyrics are saying that what confounds people is that a cow that is a white and black cow could eat green grass and pump out white milk. And I began to think about that, and I was like, man, that is strange. Honestly, that's something I never really thought about. But I mean, if you think about us, how our hearts were sinful, how our hearts were black, we had no hope. And then if that latter part, the cow and all that stuff, if that amazes you, I mean, think about how much more amazing God is, and that he saved us. I mean, we had no hope, no hope whatsoever, but God came down and delivered unto us his son, Jesus Christ, and he gave us hope. He gave us eternal life. He gave us a new heart. I mean, he gave us himself. For thou art great and doest wondrous things, for thou art God alone. And I began to think about that statement. Thou art God alone. I mean, Muhammad's not God. Buddha's not God. God is on a plane all by himself. And if we were to compare ourselves with him, I mean, he would just completely wipe us off the map. And oftentimes we try to compare ourselves to God. We think we're God in our life. But when we compare ourselves to him, we realize we're nothing. And I mean, isn't that funny that we often compare ourselves among ourselves, and we think, okay, hey, I'm better than this guy because this guy is this. I'm better than that guy because I'm not doing this. I'm better than that person. But hey, the ground is always level at the cross. I mean, the same person, the same mire and muck that God found you in is the same mire and muck that they're in today. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't be in the position that you are today. And I say to you tonight, you have no reason in the world to gloat about your salvation, to gloat about your spirituality, to gloat about where you are in life. Because if it wasn't for God, you would not be there today. And this is where we're going to get to tonight. The psalmist says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. And I begin to think about this. In the book of Proverbs, it says, he that often be being reproved hardeneth his neck. And I think a lot of times when God scolds us or God chastens us or God is trying to grow us, that's when we become stubborn. That's when we become, okay, hey, God, do I really need to grow? And oftentimes in our life, we don't have the spirit of God, teach me, but we have the spirit of, hey, God, I know what I'm doing. And case in point is this. If you're out and God, the spirit of God lays in your heart to witness to a person and you don't obey him, we would say the only alternative to obedience is disobedience. So if you're not obeying the spirit, that means you're walking in your own way. If you're not obeying the spirit to get up and pray, then you're walking in your own way. If you're out doing what you want to do, then you're walking in your own way. And so I want you guys to think about in your life the times where God has taught you something and how it's beneficial to your Christianity, beneficial to relationship with him, and how God taught you something and grew you through it. And think about the time when you walked your own way and the result of it. If you look at that, the result of going your own way was oftentimes destruction. And the result of going God's way was oftentimes blessing, was oftentimes a closer relationship with him. So that begs the question, why don't we follow God's way every single time? And it's because of whatever we're going to talk about tonight. We have a divided heart. And we're going through the book of Romans in Sunday school, and it is amazing just to realize that I have a divided heart. And if I'm not careful, I can either live for the flesh and end up destroying myself, or I can live for the spirit and end up having life, blessings, the abundant life. And reading the book of Romans, it's amazing that God gives me the choice of free will. And it's amazing reading the book of Romans that not only does God give me the choice, but he lays out everything that I need pertaining to life and godliness. And he instructs me in the way that I should go. And he says, Jeremiah, if you go down this road, there's blessings. There's such an amazing life for you. But if you go down this way, hey, this way is a way of destruction. If you live for the flesh, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing, but in the spirit, hey, there's everything. There's blessing. There's life. There's abundance. There's everything. And oftentimes, because our heart is not knit to Christ, we choose this way, the way of destruction. And honestly, we don't see, man, the blessings of God. Teach me thy way. The Bible says, Jesus, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. I mean, it's not this way, it's not that way. Hey, it's that straight and narrow way, just following Christ. And on Sunday, we, you know, somewhat comical in class, but we're talking about how Jesus is the answer to everything that you go through. And so we're explaining different things, and we're like, Jesus is the answer to those things. In all reality, Jesus really is the answer. to everything that we face, everything that we go through. I mean, we have a hard time, we're going through a hard time. Man, Jesus is the answer. Financial crisis, Jesus is the answer. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And then the psalmist says this, I will walk in thy truth. And you know, it's a personal decision to either walk in truth or to walk in darkness. It's your personal decision today. Hey, am I going to walk in the truth of God's light and God's word, or am I going to follow the world's truth, the world's lies? And oftentimes, the reason why we don't choose the truth, the reason why we don't choose to walk in God's way is because of that divided heart again. The reason why people leave church, the reason why people want nothing to do with God is because they have that divided heart. But this is where we're going to get to tonight. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And so I began to break down, what does it mean to unite something? I mean, it means to have something knit together. I mean, it's to mean that everything that that thing is, it's one with another person or another thing. And so when you got saved, God gave you a new heart. He put his spirit inside of you. And basically to say, your heart was knit together with God's. So my question for you tonight is your heart divided or is your heart knit together with God? And so I'm going to explain what I mean in just a little bit. And as I said before, what amazes me is that God would come down and that he would save us and that he would give us the opportunity to know him. And I mean, just learning and studying the names of God has been so amazing to me. And the more that I get draw closer to the Lord, the more that I want to draw closer to the Lord, the more amazing he just gets to me. I mean, the more big he gets. And so really quick, I just want to go through a couple of names of God that means so much to me. And like I said tonight, man, we're just here. We're just going to praise God. But the first name is Adonai. And that is Lord, Master, found in Genesis 15, verse 2. Next, we have Advocate, Almighty, Alpha, the Amen, the Angel of the Lord, the Anointed One, the Apostle, the Author and Perfecter of our faith, the Beginning, the Branch, the Bread of Life, the Bridegroom, the Carpenter, Chief Shepherd, the Christ, the Comforter, the Cornerstone, the Dayspring, the Daystar, the Deliverer, El Elyon, the Most High God, El Olam, the Everlasting God, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, the Lord God Almighty, Emmanuel, the End, the Everlasting Father, the Faithful and True Witness, the First Fruits, the Foundation, the Fountain, the Friend of Sinners, the Gift of God. He's called God, he's called the Glory of God, the Good Shepherd, the Governor, the Great Shepherd, the Guide, the Head of the Church, the High Priest, the Holy One of Israel, the Horn of Salvation, the Great I Am. He's called Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. He's called Jehovah M. Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies you, the Lord who makes you holy. He's called Jehovah Nisi, the Lord your banner. Jehovah Ra'a, the Lord your shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Sabbat, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tizkenu, the Lord our righteousness. He's called Jesus. He's called the King of Israel, King of Kings, the Lamb of God, the last Adam, the life, the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord of Lords. He's called love. He's called the Mediator, the Messiah, the Mighty God, the Morning Star, the Omega, the Passover Lamb. He's called the Great Physician. He's called the Priest, the Prince of Peace. He's called the Prophet. He's called the Purifier. He's called Rabbi. He's called our Ransom. He's called our Redeemer. He's called the Refiner. He's called our Refuge. He's called our Resurrection. He's called our Rock. He's called the Root of David. He's called the Rose of Sharon, the Ruler of God's creation. He's called our Sacrifice, our Savior. He's called our Servant, our Shepherd, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, the Stone, the Son of Righteousness, Teacher, Truth, the Way, Wonderful Counselor, the Word, and the Vine. And that is the God who died for you. And that is the God who's coming to you tonight and says, you know what? Unite my heart with yours. Draw close to me. And if you were to go over to Psalm chapter number 23, the psalmist David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, if God is all these things to you, and God is all these things to everyone in this world, man, how could you want more? I mean, how could you want the stuff in the world when God is everything that we want, everything that we need? I mean, if you were to compare having a nice car, or having a nice clothes, having all this stuff, compare it with what I just read and who God is, all that stuff will fail in comparison every single time. Compared to the great God that we have the opportunity of serving, the great God that we have the opportunity of reaching out to every single day. And every time you cry out to Him, He's always there to listen to you, always there to hear you. There's never a moment where His ears are closed, never a moment where He's asleep, never a moment where He's slumbering. God is always alive, He's always real, and He's always there to help us. Simple question for you tonight. How many of you guys have a heart desire to praise the Lord with your life? I mean, to exalt Him, to make Him look good, do everything that you do. But it all starts with this, having your heart united to fear His name, to have that reverence, to stand in awe of Him. And when you have that, you get to verse number 12, and it says, I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify Thy name forevermore. I mean, have you ever just woken up and God puts a song on your heart? And honestly, I'll be the first, I can't sing, I can't hold a tune, nothing. But honestly, I love just singing unto the Lord. And sometimes I just, honestly, I hear myself and I'm like, okay, I just sing in my head. I sound better there. But I love just singing praise unto the Lord. And just honestly, I just love just singing about what He's doing and singing certain songs like Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. I love the song God is so good. That's one of my favorite songs. I just love singing unto the Lord. And honestly, my one heart's desire, and I don't mean this pridefully, but my one heart's desire is just simply just to praise the Lord with my life. That's my one heart desire more than anything. It's just to show Him that I'm thankful for the gift that He's given me in salvation. And honestly, it breaks my heart. My friend, we're talking about it earlier today. You know, he's getting ready to plant a church in Ferguson. And, you know, he's just talking about how there's a city there that is so wicked. And he was talking about how there's the riots there. And he said the buildings are still broken down. And so many people given to the world, society, and debt. The devil is just wreaking havoc with those people. And he was saying that, man, God saved me. God changed me. God took me out of where I was. Man, why can't we be a light to that city? And oftentimes it amazes me that people see that on the news and all that happens. And the one thing, the first thing that they say to him is, why would you want to go to a place like that? That's often the response. But why wouldn't you go to a place like that? I mean, if God changed you, God saved you, and you had this God in you that is so big and so mighty and so strong, I mean, wouldn't you want to go to the ends of the world to preach the gospel and tell every living creature about Him? I mean, wouldn't you want to share to the people that are shackled by the chains of sin, that are given to traditionalism, that are given to this thing, that thing? I mean, wouldn't you want to share unto them that they could be free, that they could be delivered from the power of sin and the chains of darkness? I mean, wouldn't you want to go there and shake hell wide open with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And honestly, man, we were talking about today, man, we're nothing. I mean, you know, you could probably rub two nickels together and get more than we're worth. But hey, we're willing souls. Man, we have a big God that has done some amazing things through our life. And we just want to show the world how great He is, how mighty He is. And like I said, the one thing that breaks my heart is people caught in traditionalism in these cities. I mean, you ask them, hey, are you saved? And like, yeah, I've been baptized. Baptized, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven, so on and so forth. But they don't know God. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. And He's never came personally into their hearts. And I mean, if you're a Christian here tonight, and if God has done some amazing things in your life, I mean, honestly, that ought to bother you. That there are cities around the United States, there are people in this world that don't have what we have. I mean, that ought to bother you. And not only will that ought to bother you, but that ought to push you to draw closer to the Lord and be thankful for what you have in Him and to praise His great name and to glorify His name in your life. And that leads us to verse number 13. The Bible says, for great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. I mean, think about the mercy of God. I mean, think about on a daily basis how much you mess up. Think about in your whole lifetime how much you mess up. But God's mercy is new every single morning. His mercy always extends. And you ask the question, how much sin can nullify God's mercy, God's grace? God's grace covers it all. Every sin, past, present, and future, his sin covers it all. Great his is mercy toward me. And he has delivered my soul from the lowest hell. And I thought about this not only physically, but spiritually as well. You don't have to spend 1 second, 1 moment in a place called hell because of what Christ did for you on the cross, because he delivered you. Verse number 14, it says, O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. And oftentimes, the world has no idea how good of a God loves them, how good of a God there is that died for them, how good of a God there is that can deliver them. But I love how David said, thou art a God full of compassion. God, I've seen your love towards me. God, I've seen the way that you deal with my heart. God, you're so gracious. God, you're so long-suffering. You're so patient towards me. And God, you're plenteous in mercy and truth. And I would say this, that a lot of times we get tired of things in our life. I mean, things just become old after a while. But I mean, some of you guys in this room have been saved 20, 30 years. And it's amazing that God has not gotten old to you yet. I mean, he's still amazing. You're still in awe of him as you were when you first got saved. And the more that you learn about him, the more that you grow in him, the more amazing that he gets. And he doesn't get old. You don't get tired of him, but you just want to spend more time with him and more time with him and more time with him. You know, I joke about being old. I'm only 25 years old, but I say I have the heart of a 45-year-old. And honestly, like, I was thinking this week, like, man, heaven is just getting so much sweeter. And I have no idea, honestly, like, you know, why I feel that. But I just feel that, like, man, I'm in my latter years of my life. Like, have you guys ever seen those older people, like, man, I'm just, you know, gonna give until, you know, God takes me home and I'm just gonna keep pouring out my life. Honestly, that's how I feel. I feel like I've lived a long life. And I'm only 25 years old. And it was amazing. I was talking to my brother Howard the other day, and I was like, he was talking about how he's 27 and so on and so forth. And I was like, wow. I remember when we were like 18, 19, and I was like, where has time gone? Like, we're getting really old. And I can't imagine what's going to happen when I'm like 64. Yeah. But it's just such an amazing that heaven gets so much sweeter every single day. But why? Why is heaven get sweeter every single day? And it's because that one person that you love is there. That one person that means everything is there. And you get to spend all eternity with him, singing praise unto his name. And honestly, tonight, I'm jealous of the people that are there. Jealous of the people that are in heaven. Because they don't have to deal with a divided heart. They don't have to deal with a sin-sick world. They don't have to deal with the flesh. They don't have to deal with sleep, being tired. They don't have to deal with being hungry and so on and so forth. But they're in the presence of Jesus, and they get to be there forever and ever. Verse number 17, we'll close. It says, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, has hope in me and comforted me. And this simply put, if your walk with God is genuine and your walk with God is real, even your enemies will see it. Even they will see it. You don't have to boast. You don't have to proclaim unto them how spiritual you are. You don't have to proclaim to them anything. They'll see it by your walk. They'll see it by your life. And I love this. He says, and be ashamed. Why are they ashamed? Because they don't have what you have. They don't serve the God that you serve. So tonight, would you allow your heart to cry out to God in a desperate plea of prayer? And I would challenge you to do this as well. Change your prayer life. Add that to your prayer life tonight. Every day, pray that your heart would be united with God. That your heart would be knit together with God the whole day. And that you wouldn't have a divided heart. What does the Bible say? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you have a divided heart, man, you can't serve God clearly. Man, you can't live for him clearly with that divided heart. So tonight, what I want you guys to do is simply pray. As I said before, add this to your prayer list every single day. David prayed for it every day. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And I went through that long list of all that God is. Let's stand in awe of him. I mean, let's praise him with every breath that we have. You know, honestly, we don't know how long we have left here on this earth. Man, we don't know who's watching our lives. But the one person that ought to deserve our praise, ought to deserve everything that we are, is him. Because of what he's done for us. Because of all that he is to us. I mean, he's more important than your family, more important than your job, more important than everything. Because he is God. Because he is Lord. Because he is our Savior. And without him, we would not be here tonight. Without his graciousness, without his mercy, without his loving kindness, without his long suffering, we would not be here tonight. So, in closing, I would say this. Let go of the superficial Christianity, and I preach this to myself. Let go of trying to act the part, trying to be the part, and allow Christ to change me. Allow Christ to live through me. Man, I'm tired of false Christianity. I'm tired of being fake. I'm tired of not being transparent. Man, I'm tired of just going through the motions every single day. Man, I want Christ to be glorified through my life. I want him to strengthen me. I want him to help me. I'm tired of living the Christian life on my own. I'm tired of living it through my own strength. Man, I want what God has for me. I want what God could do through me. When we read through scripture, man, we serve a great God who's powerful, who's mighty. And if God does something great through your life, man, it's all for his glory and none of yours. Let's pray. Lord, all we can say is, wow, wow. How great, how mighty, how strong, how powerful of a God you are. And Lord, I think that yet you are powerful, you're strong, you're merciful, you're kind, you're loving, you're caring. And Lord, I pray that we would just fall on our knees, Lord, and just realize the God that we serve, the God that we live for. That we would fall in love with you once again. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for not living the way that we ought to, for not seeing you the way that we ought to, for not being thankful for you and your great gift. And Lord, tonight, would you allow our hearts to be knit together with you? Allow your passions to be our passions. Your will for our life to be our will for our life. May we surrender everything we are to you. And Father, we praise your holy name. How excellent is thy name. And Lord, you are truly God above gods, Lord above lords. You are truly Alpha and Omega. And we glorify you tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.